a great time of the year. We celebrate freedom. Sometimes we don't realize that the concept of freedom is actually found and discovered in the pages of the Scripture. So I would invite you today to please find Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The title of the message today is Freedom. So we celebrate July the 4th. Somebody said, do they have July the 4th in England? I think they do. Fireworks and holiday celebrations, but we certainly do have a tendency to take freedom for granted. I will tell you that this week, preparing for the message today, I took some time just to meditate, to think, and that's kind of dangerous, but I would encourage you to do that sometime. And I just thought about what it means for me to be free. Just having freedom. Freedom to worship, freedom to work, freedom to live, freedom to go places. It's an incredible thing just to be free, and it's awesome. It's a relatively new concept in the history of civilization. There's always been monarchs, kings, despots, dictators, and they take the people's freedom away. In fact, what our nation has been called is the great American experiment. Because what we're doing is something that's never been done before, and it's an experiment. Nobody knows how it's going to end up, because there's always those forces out there who would take that freedom away from us. And so freedom is an incredible concept birthed in the Bible. I'd like for you to take a look at the verse from which we preach today, Galatians 5:1. Paul says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So what I'd like to do today is walk us through the implications of that single verse and run it through the lens of freedom in our country and through the lens of freedom in Jesus Christ. And so let's begin by thinking about freedom in the United States of America. And I would remind you that our freedom has been won. It was not free. Someone has paid a very heavy price in order that we can be free in our nation. I would tell you that the vision of our founding fathers, as they were putting together the nuts and bolts of this republic, of this nation, found inspiration in the Scripture. And I didn't realize this till just a few years ago. But I have a verse that you ought to write it down, you ought to mark it, because it's intriguing, it's incredible. In Isaiah 33:22, here's where they got the concept of our form of government. It says, "For the Lord is our judge." And from that they pulled out the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, the system of judges. He says, "The Lord is our lawgiver." From there they got the legislative branch, Congress making the laws. And then, "The Lord is our king." And from that phrase, they pull the executive branch, and that is the office of the president. And so for ancient Israel, God was their judge, God was their lawgiver, God was their king. And it says, "He will save us." As our nation developed, and I would prefer for God to be all those for our country, but that's not the case. And so from that concept of God came the idea of our nation. So you say, well, I don't know. People say that America is a Christian nation. Some say it's not. I would just tell you that the roots and the inspiration for our form of government has come from the Bible, from the Scripture. And so that is an incredible verse. And so the idea of equality, the idea of rights, the idea that we are free to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, these unalienable rights, all men, all women created equal, all of those are birthed out of biblical truth. So the concept of freedom comes from the Bible. However, it had to be won. And so our freedom has been won. The nature of mankind is opposite. The nature of mankind is to enslave people. And so this new idea of government has been won. It was hard fought. And it took force of arms for us to have our freedom. But the second thing I want to tell you, that our freedom has been preserved. He says, stand firm in that verse. Don't let it get away from you. And so I discovered, I thought it was more, but 1.1 million people have died in wars in America in our history. And that's a lot of people. And as I was thinking about that, I tried to put that into a context. In World War II, the Nazis executed over 6 million Jews. It's an amazing thing what slavery can lead to. And so there have been men and women who've paid an ultimate price for our freedom to be preserved. There's always a force, a movement to limit or take away our freedom. We thank God for those who have lived, those who have died, preserving our freedom. Stand fast, he says, stand firm. Now, our freedoms are based and rooted in a document. It's the Constitution. And so the Constitution is a written document penned by these patriarchs of our nation, these forefathers. And there's two ways to view the Constitution. Now, this is very relevant for us today. I want you to listen very carefully because it will help you have some meaning into some of the stuff that you'll see on the news. There's one strand of folks who would like to see the Constitution as a living document, and it's consistently changing in the way it can be applied, and how it applied in the past is not necessarily how we apply it today. And so there are new rights that can be developed that will be brought under the Constitution when they were not even concepts back when the Constitution was written. And more liberal people would want to do that. And then there's the view that say the Constitution stands as it's written, the original intent of its authors, and it needs to be applied in that way. And so when there are Supreme Court judges being appointed to that bench, then that's kind of the two positions. Either that judge is going to have a dynamic view, moving view of the Constitution, or is going to hold to that static view of the Constitution, and that's where the battle comes from. Now, I certainly prefer those who hold to the static version, and that's what's going to preserve our freedom and our life. And so we have this written in the Constitution. We're going to come back to that idea in a minute when we talk about our freedom in Jesus Christ. So kind of put that in the memory bank in just a few moments. A third thing I would tell you about our freedom in our nation, it always comes with boundaries. And the boundaries have been established by the laws of our land, and the laws of our land are intended for our protection and security and for the protection and the security of other people around us. So let me kind of give you an illustration I think you'll understand. If you got out of church today and you said, I'm going to go on a road trip, I'm free to do that, I'm free to do that, so I'm going to get into my car and I'm going to zip down 740, form room 740, and I'm going to drive about 130 miles an hour till I get to lunch because the preacher went too long and I'm hungry. Now, you would be free to do that, right? Couldn't you do that? If your car will go that fast, why would you want a car if it wouldn't go that fast? I don't have a car that would go that fast. But there would be some boundaries. You would see little signs that say speed limit. It is a boundary. The reason that that speed limit is there is for two reasons. One, they want you to be protected. If you use your freedom to say, I'm going to do 130, you're not going to make it through the curves. You're going to die. And there's going to be other people that you're going to put in danger. So the boundary is there to keep you safe and secure and happy and to preserve that happiness of other people. So even in the context of our freedom, there are some boundaries. Now, if you go ahead and choose to go past the boundary, the man may get you. And the man will write you a ticket. And the man will expect you to send a lot of money in. In fact, if you're driving that fast, he's going to haul you to jail. Because that's the enforcer part of government. And so our freedom has been won. Our freedom has been preserved over the years. But our freedom come with boundaries. Now, what is a really awesome aspect of that is, suppose there is an unjust law that we can't agree with as a follower of Christ. We don't agree with it. It violates our conscience. It violates our faith. We have the freedom to protest. We have the freedom to get active to change the law. But once we do protest and we do break the law, that's called civil disobedience, then the man will come in and do something to us. And we have to be willing to pay that price should that occur. And I will simply tell you that I think the day is not too far in our future where we're going to have some very tough choices that we're going to have to make. And so this freedom always comes with boundaries. The fourth thing I would tell you is that our freedom presents us with opportunities. You saw the video we started off with today. And think about the opportunities that those people got when they got to America. It opened up opportunities that they would have never had back home. Now, we've got the immigration issue. It's a political football. A lot of things happening. But I would just be honest with you, and this is not a political statement whatsoever, but I would tell you that if I were living somewhere and my family was starving and I knew that I could get work across the border, I'm going across the border because the opportunities are so great in our nation. Don't take it for granted. You have great opportunities. I have great opportunities that other people living in other parts of the world can only dream about. And if you've gone on any mission trips and you've gone to other parts of the world, you have seen it firsthand, and it makes you appreciate the incredible opportunity. Think of the opportunities that you have right now in front of you because you are living in a free country. It is absolutely astounding. So we think about this time of the year, our freedom, and it is an astounding thing. Our freedom has been won, it's been preserved, it comes with boundaries, and it gives us incredible opportunities. That's a reason to pop a firecracker on July the 4th. Let's turn the page toward our freedom in Jesus Christ. And we run it through the same grid. Our freedom has been won. It was not free. And the price of our freedom in Jesus Christ is the very death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We had a huge sin debt that we owed, and we're living a life of bondage to that sin. And Jesus Christ lived the perfect life. He went and died on the cross in our place, paying our sin debt off, so we are now free from that load. We're free from the law, sin and death. I can remember when Jeanette and I bought our first home, and we went through all the stuff and made the first mortgage payment. And I said to her, well, you know, that wasn't so bad. And I said that to somebody else, and they said, yeah, but it comes every month. Doesn't it? You've got that debt hanging over you. I can remember paying off my first car. I went in there to the bank, had borrowed money from the bank. Last payment. Had that last, they used to give you little things like a checkbook with your pay things in them. The last one, man, it was awesome, pulling it out. I went into the bank, went up to the teller, laid it on the counter, wrote out the check, paid in full. Man, that was awesome. Out the door I went, paid off, done. Man, new cars are like that, aren't they? You remember the new car you get? Got the new car smell? Really good, right? And kids get no French fries in the new car. No eating. You don't go down a dirt road because it's a new car. And you're going to keep it that way. You don't mind making the payment on it because it's awesome. It's a new car. 6 months later, man, the carpet is trashed with ketchup and tater tots and chips and other nasty things. But that payment's still there, isn't it? Man, how great is it to think at the sin that destroys us and the debt we owe for it has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. Man, that is awesome. You don't have to make any payments. But not only has our sin debt been paid, but the door to heaven and eternal life has been opened. We don't have to work so that we can deserve it and get there. If we're having to work and be good and do enough stuff to get there, that is bondage. But we have been set free from that because the price has been paid, the road has been paved. Jesus Christ has entered through me. We can't earn it. And we can't do anything to lose it once we get it. Because we have been given freedom in Jesus Christ. It's an incredible thing for us. Grace and mercy. Our freedom has been won by Jesus Christ. But also our freedom has been preserved. Our freedom in Christ demands constant vigilance. He says, stand firm. So how has our freedom been preserved? Well, it's preserved in the Bible. Now, remember I told you to remember what I said about the Constitution? About how people are viewing that? People are viewing the Bible in the same way. There are people who look at the Bible and say, well, it's a dynamic book. It is a living book, without doubt. But there are new applications to that truth. And what was true in those old cultures are not true in our culture. Some of it you can throw out. Some of it you can put some additions to. So yeah, we'll believe the Bible is the Word, but it is dynamically, it's changing with culture. And when that happens, we get enslaved and we lose our freedom. And then there's a position, which is what I hold, that the Bible is inerrant. It is totally without error. It is absolutely authoritative. What it says is true is true. What it says is wrong is wrong. What it says is false is false. And it's not going to change. It's forever written in heaven. And it is in the preservation of the Scripture that we find and live in our freedom. And so we're holding to the Bible as being the Word of God without question. And God has deposited the Scripture in the church. Now, it is a very dangerous assumption for anybody to take to say, well, this is a church, and therefore it is fine. Well, because something calls itself a church does not necessarily make it fine. Because if they have wavered from the Bible, it's not fine. And so it's crucial, if we're going to keep our freedom, that we recognize this biblical truth has been deposited in the church, and then we're dependent upon leaders. We're dependent upon men and women of faith who hold to the biblical truth, who teach the Bible. That's where we find our freedom, and that's how we preserve it. And I would just tell you, one of the great objectives that we have as a church through our children's and student ministries is we want the kids that come through to have an incredible love and recognition of Jesus Christ. We want them to love the church where they'll never walk away from it. And we want them to embrace and believe the Bible being the Word of God without error. In doing so, we will preserve this. You realize we're just one generation away from absolute apostasy. But I will tell you this, God always saves a remnant. And I'm going to be in that number. I've set my course to stay true to the Scripture. And then preserving it is the work of the Holy Spirit. As He directs, as He guides, as He convicts, as He draws. And so we do have freedom in Christ. It's been won and it has been preserved. And it's on us to continue that preservation on to the next generations. A third thing, our freedom comes with boundaries. It comes with boundaries. And the boundaries are set by the Bible. So we're free in Jesus Christ to live however we want to live. We don't have to earn our salvation. Our forgiveness is there. And so, man, we are just free. But we're free to live in the boundaries. I'll give you an illustration on that, I think, will be helpful. Let's go to the idea of marriage, family. And so God created human beings. It says He created them male and female. Half and half. Half male, half female. And then He created the institution of marriage. And He said marriage will look like a male marrying a female. So in doing that, He set a boundary. He just automatically limited a man's choice. Half of the human population is not an option. The other half is an option. And then when you actually get married, the boundaries get even narrower. It's not just half of the human race that's a possibility. It's now one person, one man and one woman. I told, when I married Jeanette, all you ladies became losers. I'm sorry, you lost it. The boundary was set. And so it's inside the boundary as a family that you get the best out of life. Going through life together with your spouse, seeing the kids if you have kids, enjoying the richness of life free from a lot of the baggage that comes. It's inside the boundaries where we're really able to experience and enjoy life the way God intended it to be enjoyed. And so every boundary, God does not put boundaries in our life to make us miserable and unhappy and unfulfilled. The boundaries are there to make our life more fulfilling and more blessed. And so our freedom comes with boundaries. Many years ago, I had a white dove that was given to me. We named him Isaiah. It might not have been a him, but we named it Isaiah. Isaiah lived in a little cage where we took care of him. And we let him out of the cage every now and again to play around and enjoy whatever doves do. And so it was great. One day I went out to feed Isaiah and somebody had left the little gate open of his cage and Isaiah had flown the coop. And I thought, well, okay. Isaiah's out soaring with the other doves, free at last. He got outside the boundary. About 2 weeks later, a lady who was working at the church at that time came walking into the office and she had a white dove in her hand. This white dove could barely move. It was almost starved to death. It was Isaiah. And he ended up at the church somehow. And so Isaiah got outside the boundary, and I'm sure those first few moments were awesome. And then he got hungry, and he didn't know what to do because he's not getting taken care of like he was. And I have a hunch about that 10th day, he thought, dude, where is my cage? I don't know what happened to him. The lady kept him. He probably didn't make it. I don't know. He is sick and bad. I had an aunt. She's the next to last person of the generation of my dad. And at her funeral, she was buried out west of Salado. And her daughters, she had two daughters, were raised in the city in Houston. And they thought it would be a great idea to order two white doves and release them at the graveside. And that's a great idea. So they ordered them on the internet. They came in a little box, a little crate. They'd never been outside the crate before. So at the end of the service, they released the two white doves. One of them went about 5 feet and flopped. The other one flew about 20 feet into the windshield of a parked car. Just kind of sitting there staggering around on the windshield wiper. So I just sat there, man. I wasn't going to do a thing. I was just watching. So they got one and threw him up in the air, and he struggled around and ended up sitting on a barbed wire fence. The other one, it was on the windshield. The car wouldn't move. So they went and set him beside the other one on the barbed wire fence. And so as we were leaving, there were those two white doves sitting there on the barbed wire fence. Free. I told somebody 3 minutes afterwards, that hawk's up there watching them. And they will be gone. So there's safety and blessing in the boundaries. We are free. Free from the law of sin and death. Free from having to earn our salvation. Free to live. But with the freedom, God gives us boundaries. And the boundaries are found in the Scripture. And when we get outside of the boundaries, our freedom turns into tragedy. And so, stay in the boundaries. A fourth thing I would tell you is that our freedom presents us with opportunities. I want to go to two amazing passages of Scripture. One of them is in Genesis chapter 13. And Abram, is living with his nephew Lot, and they are blessed. Their possessions are so great they can't stay together anymore, and so they're going to have a parting of the ways. And it says in verse 8 and 9 of Genesis 13, "Then Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you?'" Look at that. The whole land. "Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." He said, "Lot, look up. Look at the land. It's all in front of you. Go wherever you want to." Limitless opportunities. Jeremiah, a great prophet, the nation of Israel has been defeated. Judah has been defeated. Jerusalem has fallen to the Babylonians. The Babylonian conquerors looked on Jeremiah with favor. And here's what they said to him in Jeremiah 40, verse 4. It says, "See, the whole land is before you. Go wherever you think it good and right to go." Jeremiah, the whole land is out there. Go wherever you want to. Do whatever you want to do. Total freedom. Now in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 and verse 36, here's the scripture. "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, if you live in the boundaries, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth.'" Finish it for me. "And the truth will set you free." And then verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." And so in the freedom that Jesus Christ has given to us, there's limitless possibilities. Now when we get outside the border, we make bad choices, we begin to limit the opportunities. And sometimes when we get into issues outside the boundary, we come back into the boundary, our horizon has come in just a little bit. But there's some in the room today, particularly our students and younger married people, I'm telling you, the whole world is out there. Limitless possibilities. Staying in the boundary, seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, obeying Him, and the whole world is open to you. And so I would just tell you today that what I am offering to you is an opportunity for absolute freedom. For freedom, Jesus Christ has set us free. And so when we think about freedom as an American, freedom as a follower of Christ, freedom has been won, it's been preserved. There's always boundaries, but our freedom presents limitless opportunities. That's a reason to shoot off a Roman candle. Because it is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. We're going to come to the place, praise and worship again before we conclude our worship time. And I'm just going to make you an offer today. I make you an offer of freedom. If today you would say to me, "Brother Jim, I hear what you're saying. I'm living as a slave to sin right now. And I know it's ruining my life. And I want to be forgiven." Jesus Christ will forgive you, restore you, and He'll set you free. And if that's where you are today, there'll be some staff here during the song. Please make your way to them while we're singing, and we will see how Jesus Christ can take the chains off of your life. It may be today that you can say, "Well, Brother Jim, you know what? I do know the freedom of Jesus Christ, but I have moved outside the boundaries, and because of that, I have issues, and actually I'm living as if I am in slavery to sin, even though I know Jesus Christ." I'm telling you that today Jesus Christ stands ready to set you free, to forgive you, restore you, deliver you from sin, deliver you from addiction, no matter your past history, your past abuse, your past challenges, your past failures. There's an incredible freedom that you can find in the boundaries of Jesus Christ. So I invite you to step back inside the boundary where you'll find life and freedom. If you're visiting with us today, thank you for joining us. I would give an invitation to become a part of this church family. God is blessing our church right now, and He has blessed us in the past, and only He knows where our future is going. We'd love for you to get in on that with us. So during the song, if you would like to come and find out how you can become a part of our church family, the staff will be here to help you through that process. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Why would you live anywhere else? So for any of those reasons, or some I didn't even outline, I give you an invitation to freedom. Let's stand together and worship. Staff is right here waiting for you. I invite you to come and be set free.